Discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes, don't touch that dial. You are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you're one of our many online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can always download a podcast at juiceboxradio.com. However you got to spend this hour with us, we are glad to have you. Tonight's show is all about, sex. Interesting. We have special guests, very special guests, acquaintances of mine, friends of mine, and incredibly insightful, wonderful, special people that I've invited to be on the show tonight, Dan, Sir, and Endearment. Very brave souls. Welcome to Juicebox.
Thank you.
These two amazing people, let me give you a little context. At Recompression recently, I know my listeners know about my personal life a little bit, and we were at a retreat called Recompression recently on the Sunshine Coast, which is a Vancouver Burning Man retreat that happens every year. And these brave souls, Dancer and Endearment, created a camp that was like a cabin that was for sexual energy exchange. I'm going to let them speak to that about what it was, but it actually was incredibly successful in the community, and I was amazed at how much people received it so positively and experienced it so positively. And we're going to actually have a couple other people coming on the show in the weeks to come that were there, a part of it, part of the living in the cabin at the time. But the originators, the ones who created it, are the first to be on Juicebox about this. So, welcome. Thank you. That's me unzipping my thing.
Unzipping her thing. It's a beautiful thing.
So can please give the listeners a little context on what it was that this SEX, the Sexual Energy Exchange Cabin, was all about. Where did you get this idea?
Sure. I want to begin by saying thank you so much to you, beautiful Julia, and such an honor, and with great gratitude we come here driving up from that strange, dark land south of the border. Some of you know it as the United States of America. We call it home.
Long journey.
We come here for culture.
And for like-mindedness. And
yes, such beautiful family and beautiful people here. We're in love with more and more people every time we come, and so grateful to be having this opportunity to speak. And SEX, Sacred Energy Exchange.
Oh, sorry, Sacred Energy Exchange. Thank you.
What were you saying?
I don't know what I said.
Oh,
I said
it might have been something close to that.
Sensual energy.
That's good, too. Yes. Yeah. I use that term or phrase to draw awareness to the spiritual component of the sexual practice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people today are using this word tantra, mm-hmm. and pretty much everyone knows what that means, and they actually don't know what it means because mm-mm. most people think it just means, is it okay to use the F word on the radio?
You can say fuck and okay, all good. That. I yeah. said cunt and
yeah.
all this.
Well, I saw cunt and pussy and fuck, but I didn't see fuck listed.
Okay,
so
fuck,
I'm
yes.
I'm
fuck.
Not sure.
As long as you're saying it in a derogatory way, like, you fucking
no,
cunt. You can't say that.
Well, you just did, dear. Anyhow, so, yeah, I love the word fuck, and we like to use it and reclaim it and empower it with love and with mm. beauty. I mean, it is really simply a verb for an action of penetration and intercourse. And in any case, mm-hmm. The word tantra is being misused and misunderstood as really this purely sexual energy and sexual practice. And really, it's so much larger and in
that's
the tradition
so
of culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just being present through your senses without necessarily involving mm-hmm. any sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's another side of it, which is that I think that some people get disoriented or put off or alienated by it as meaning something that you have to learn Sanskrit and learn strange mudras and odd poses and positions in order to practice. And I really want to bring home this element that all, really almost all, to some degree, sexual union has this element of sacred energy exchange. And the more we bring our attention to it, to that aspect of it, the more that's what becomes real for it. And so that's just where this word comes from, and I'm not attached mm-hmm. to it. It's useful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so Camp Sex, it was something that we wanted, you know, and wasn't available. And so we asked for it, and then it happened. And I had no idea, you know, it's so funny that when you met me there Friday afternoon and said, Dancer, this cabin of yours is really stirring people up and getting people excited and challenging people and stuff. And as I thought more about it, I realized, my goodness, yeah, just barging into this community with this idea. And here's a bunch of people who've probably been putting this party together for years and have
like
all this history.
Years.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And here's some alien American barging in with some kind of let's have a cabin dedicated to, you know, conscious fuckery. And I probably wouldn't have done it if I had thought more about it.
Oh. Ah, see.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear that. Yeah, and world who's listening, this is a prime example of having courage, and sometimes that courage can be just completely blind, and it's not mm-hmm. actually courage, it's just sort of like stupidity.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
it's like, leave off, and then you're like, actually that worked, okay, we're all right, and everyone's grown from it, so fabulous.
Yeah, well,
thank you once again. I just have to congratulate and
then,
honor you.
And then the thing that happened there that was so beautiful was the way that the people who signed on to it to collaborate with the creation of it, it was there were 10 of us camping in that cabin, and we had never met any of them. We put out.
You asked me to be in it too, and it was too much for me. And yeah. I'm a freaking sex educator. I was like, I can't do it. Oh, like whoa! But the ones who came and did it with you, I knew all of them before uh-huh. they signed up, and they said that they were signing up because they were telling me, they were like, what are we mm-hmm. gonna do? Oh my god, I'm so nervous. What should I do, Julia? How come you're not there? And all this yeah. So I knew everyone that was signed up for it, and I was all like, that's perfect. It's amazing. And then a couple of them were like, I don't even know why I'm doing it. I'm just doing it. It's like, yeah. I don't know. It's like, I don't know what, none of their cabins work. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
They're
that's
drawn inexorably to their
yes.
fate.
Right.
As progenitors of this new modality, this new opportunity, this new. And here's a nice little moment that happened for us. As we were leaving on Saturday night from the Moose Lodge, which is, for the listeners, was the space where the most of the dancing went on, sort of the big party space at Recompression. And we were wandering our way out of there up the hill at about 4 a.m. or so. As I walked up the hill, I realized, you know, everyone who's left here tonight, of the several hundred people that had been wandering out during the course of the evening, heading to somewhere else, In previous events, their options were pretty much to go either to the chill space, which is another space nearby that had been set up for, you know, cuddling and relaxing and spacing out and whatever, and then or their cabin or some other cabin. But tonight there's sort of a third option, and that option is camp sex. And I realized, you know, this is going to become probably, and I would hope, a permanent element of intentional gatherings, that essentially we would have a chill space, and then we would have a chill space that is devoted towards conscious sexual connection, adult chill space, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a fabulous idea. I mean, I had my issue because I had my polyamorous relationship, Dan, there, and we were sort of emailing like, where are we going to have sex at recompression? Like, how can I want to be comfortable and warm, and I don't want to have to feel like I need to hurry because someone's going to catch us or find us or something and be inappropriate and all worried, upset, or whatever.
Or wake up somebody sleeping
exactly.
next to you.
Exactly. And so I was kind of like, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then you guys came along, and I was like, hey, we're going to have sex with cat sex. So I had my first public intercourse, technically, really, there.
We got to be there. And it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Our favorite moment of that was we were kind of busy in our own thing, but we were drifting in and out of it and taking little breaks and just being connected. At one point, we were looking over, and I remember you hit that point of I think you said something to the effect of that's enough, like I've had enough, like, you know, and he turned to the rest of the people in the room and gave like this little grin and kind of a thumbs up. Score, yes, saturate her.
It was a
Which,
good
that's
time.
What it's all about, isn't it, boys?
It was a good time. Yes, I'd had enough cock. All right. Yes, it was fabulous. It was a good time, and I have to just speak from experience there. From my experience of it, it was really quite magical to share in such a beautiful, connected, intimate space, and not feel unsafe about maybe some, you know, pawy kind of person coming at me and trying to grab my tit or whatever, and, you know, which I heard happened a few times, but generally it was a really conscious space, and that people felt really safe there, and I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, this is good, because I want to mention, for anybody who wants to create similar spaces in the future, I think that the thing that really helped this thing play out so beautifully, sort of in autopilot, because we didn't have a moderator. We didn't have someone who was spending their weekend sitting at the door and checking,
giving instructions,
certifications.
And sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
We had signage that hopefully people would see. Although I think that the gift of Zach and T. Racy's explicit pornographic images plastered all over the entryway made it hard to read the signs. Pussy sign.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but we really just had two rules coming in the door. And the first rule was ask, which it's almost a shame that still needs to be stated, but it does. And I think 95% of the people in any conscious community, or certainly in the Burning Man community, already have been well inculcated and indoctrinated with this idea that no matter how sexy somebody seems to you, does not mean that you get to reach over and touch their bits. So,
or their leg, or their anything.
Or their anything. And so we made that really clear with that rule. And then the second rule that really helped was this idea of BYOL, bring your own lover. Uh-huh. So that camp sex was not a place for hooking up.
Right.
It was not the context for that.
Or for voyeurism necessarily, and just in its own sense of just sitting around and watching other people.
Yeah, if you came with your lover and you did your thing together, or you were getting warmed up together, getting into the mood or whatever, watching people making love, like I believe it was All Is On who said in our email discussion, she said, other people are the best porn, you know, live human beings right there. And really, the beauty of being in a space like that when there were two or three couples all actively getting it on. It's just the sounds and the smells and the presence.
Yes, the energy, you know, is huge. Yeah. So much huge energy. Beautiful.
So that rule, bring your own lover. It's better than, you know, what, like, I know that probably your listeners, I saw that you had this, some folks from Synchronicity in Seattle come on, which is a really successful and neat event. And it's sorry to hear they're taking a little sanity break.
Sanity break, I think a needed one. And they will have one in October.
Good.
I think it'll be fine. So, they'll be back on the racks.
But wait, what they do there is they have this rule, you know, no single men.
Yeah.
Which is
common, actually, in a lot of parties, unless it's the sausage party kind, you know, where it's just like the women go because they want to be gangbanged by six guys. And so it's like they actually want you to bring two guys with you and that kind of thing, whatever. But that's quite the rare case.
So, and this is a good, it's a fine approach, and it works well for people. But as a, you know, as a boy, it hurts your feelings, you know, because we're associated with that. Even though I'm not the man who's the one they're worried about when they say no single men, but I know they're out there, and I know what we're talking about.
And
like, I don't want to be the guy to say no to some beautiful single woman who would like to come into camp sex and do anything she likes. Really, I mean.
Join in, masturbate, whatever, of course.
All the more the merrier. But I chose to take, quote unquote, this higher road, right? And just say no single people regardless of gender.
Right.
And
I think it turned out to work
beautifully.
Let me just break in and talk about ask Endearment what she thinks about sort of the creation of this idea and how you felt about it and sort of what your fears or your aspirations around the whole concept of what you guys brought to Recompression.
Well, developing it mostly, I think, came out of our desire to just continue making love, not have breaks from our practice. And like, we want to be with friends, but we need to be making love.
Regularly, lots.
And
we're seriously addicted.
Yes, seriously. And and it's been really beautiful the times we've had in the past where we can just hang out with friends all around us and be making love still. And
so that was your motivation, was that you wanted to make sure that you could keep having sex whenever and however long and whatever. And so you're going to go spend this 4-day retreat and you're like, okay, 4 days. Like, I want to make sure I can still fuck for whatever amount of time of that. Okay. All right. Well, that's a valid and valued motivation behind the creation of it. And that's fabulous. And Dan, sir, you did mention that was sort of some of your motivation too, is just wanting to create a space where you could go and have
sex. I want to see this evolve as a permanent part of our social fabric.
I think a very good idea. Very good idea. I mean, being a sex positive advocate as I am, I think it's very important. Like I said, you know, you want to have sex with somebody at an event like this where you kind of around a bunch of people. And as adults, it's like we want to be able to make love with each other, especially in a sensuous sort of environment like this one. It's a very playful environment. And to not be able to, or to feel like this, the common feeling we have around masturbating, like you're not getting caught, you know, and all these sort of anxiety-provoking things around sexuality and how unfortunate that is in our society. And so I think, you know, now that we're grown up, it's like, can we stop doing that? Can we like go to camp and actually masturbate and have sex and not feel like we're gonna get caught and feel really embarrassed about it? So I think I'm hoping this is the beginning of maybe more openings to enable people to sort of maybe make more of these cabins or have more of these spaces where it's like, yeah, you can go to camp sex for a group thing or very open stuff, but you can also do it here in our cabin, and this is the room we're gonna let you do it in, and whatever, you know. I think it's such a great beginning to creating that safe, sex-positive environment. So
there was a beautiful comment from one of the participants in the workshop that we held on Friday afternoon there that sort of kicked off the energy of this, which was a workshop on community sex that you were part of.
Yes.
And we were just doing fears and desires around that idea of whatever community sex felt like to each of us. And it was very powerful and very extemporaneous. I made the commitment to go in without having any agenda, nothing written down. Didn't even have a pen. Bad workshopper. Worked out good. Anyhow.
I was there for a bit of it.
There was a comment in terms of a desire from a beautiful man there who said that he wants to see the innocence, the childlike sense of innocence that we had around our sexual energy come to the surface in our practice today as adults and in his life. He wants to be able to feel again these beautiful, powerful impulses that move through his body and his heart and his spirit without having them be saddled and mutated and twisted by all of this strange programming and
repression and guilt and
everything that comes on. So it's beautiful to see that happening. And I want to say also about, like, part of our motivation for this space and for this practice, as we've been making love with each other so much over this past year plus together, we're drawn to the opportunity to show up in community, or even if it's just a few other people in front of other people, to be able to show up as sexually potent, beautiful creatures. And this is kind of the heart of that dynamic of the healing that you were talking about that can come out of this. Mm-hmm. Is it gives us an opportunity to occupy a role that is really foreign to most of us.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah,
not only to be seen, to be seen as a beautiful, sexual, powerful creature, which is a little terrifying sometimes.
Yes.
You know, to go from where you might be now to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But also to be able to see other people as they drop into their ecstatic present potency,
mm-hmm.
and see how beautiful they become and mm-hmm. how hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, somebody that you might not think
all
is so sexy.
All shapes and sizes and kinds
right.
of people.
Yeah. Everyone gets when really hot.
When the Kundalini energy starts to flow through us, it can, it brings out the best in us, because that's our human essence. And, you know, our sex is our human essence. And people don't realize that, you know, so many of us are so asleep to that knowledge and that knowing. And so you see that in people when they actually release themselves sexually. And everybody is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody is sexy. It's sort of, it's something that we all need to embody and believe about ourselves. And I think that's part of, you know, what I'm always trying to talk about with people, to like, get over your body image issues. Doesn't matter what you look like, release mm-hmm. yourself, you know, like, let yourself feel all of the Kundalini that is within us and through the earth and come up through the body, and like, let yourself go, you know. And anyway, all right, so I wanted to ask you, there's a long list of questions here, and you guys met, so I really want to just ask you quickly. I didn't put it in the list of questions, but I want to know how you guys met. I know that they ask you at the border crossing all the time, but I really want to know. I want to know just innocently, and like, the romantic story, and maybe we'll hear from Endearment what your story is, honey.
Wasn't it the toe sucking? It wasn't how.
Oh, no, Cass and John from the wet spots would be like, toe sucking, no! Anyway.
It wasn't how we actually met, but it's when we both knew for sure, I think, that there was something more to be explored.
What happened in Endearment?
Well, I met him through a friend who I was romantically involved with, was a good friend of his, and he was holding toning circles at his house room.
The Love Temple.
Which he called the Love Temple.
Uh-huh. Where was this Love Temple?
In Seattle.
What? Love Temple? What's that?
Okay, Love Temple, yes.
Love Temple.
I've not been there.
Beautiful space, mm-hmm. small room, just lined with pillows and Persian rugs and wall hangings. And
lovely.
Mm-hmm. And we used to gather there once a week and have toning circles, singing, chanting.
Cool. So you were very good. Very
this
good.
Kind of stuff.
Thanks, dancer.
Well, it's been a few months.
He's
I'm
like,
so busy fucking all the time, I don't make sounds anymore. Except like. Rah, rah, rah.
So you met at the toning circle, love shack.
Love shack. Well, it just turned into kind of a snuggle pile afterwards.
And it often did, yeah.
And one night, he sucked my toes. Oh. Yeah, and
very good. I'm
she
sure
has really good toes.
I'm sure his tongue is well practiced and very strong. Anyway, all right. So yes, and then you were like, "Hey, toe sucker."
I was like, "Hey, I like this guy."
Well, the whole room seemed to notice too. There was definitely like
the energy between you is strong.
Mm-hmm. But we both we both loved this man that she was with, and my relationship with him was really important. So I just was sort of keeping my I noticed all the sort of polyamorous vibe around there, but still, you know, they were in a new thing, and I was busy anyhow with all kinds of beautiful women and stuff.
Yes, I can imagine you're both very hot. So Endearment eventually. Oh, what was this little shivery bit you guys just did? Was when you finally succumbed to the lust.
Intention 7.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that was when you guys actually connected, met. Mm-hmm. I mean, connected your genitals.
We all three went up together.
Not genitals yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, your good friend, and which Endearment was dating. Interesting. Okay.
He immediately spun off with some beautiful young hippie girl and left Dear as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Did you break
nature abhors a vacuum.
Nature nature doesn't want a vacuum. Intention 7 stirred up a lot of shit. I mean, Miles and I ended. I mean, he got a huge crush on some girl there and ended our 2.5 year relationship and completely destroyed me, which is good. And I'm so glad because now I have John, and he's like the most incredible man I've ever had in my life. And thank God he gets back a week today, which is why I'm not having a show next Wednesday night, because I'm going to the airport to pick him up and take him directly to his apartment. Anyway, so yes, but Intention 7, very interesting space. So. Especially, so you guys,
we started dancing together there.
Oh, like, dancing!
I didn't really dance before.
Oh,
Intention
dancing
7.
Is fucking really?
Yeah.
No,
not at all.
For anyone who has seen Endearment dance, that's a surprising statement.
Dude, I can't wait to go dancing with you. All right, okay. So, so Matt, I missed bass nectar. Anyway, all right. So, okay, so you met, you danced, you fucked, you joined love.
No, we didn't fuck for months.
For months.
What? Why? What happened?
We had this really slow, powerful, lots of hand and mouth kind of stuff building up. It wasn't until like March-ish or April.
Yeah.
Wow. And then it was crazy.
So that's why you've been so crazy for like the last year and a bit.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because you let it build up so long.
It's just this fulfillment for me of a thing probably 6 months prior to that where I had this really powerful moment of realizing that what I wanted my life to consist of, I wanted the heart of my life to be sexual practice. I wanted to be essentially a fuck monk.
Endearment, did you want to be a fuck monk too?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, you're young. You're a young thing.
I proselytized.
You're a young thing, young lady. So, you know, maybe you'll just learn and start to get more, even more, like, aware of what it is.
No, she was on a career path.
But,
she was on a career path.
I was on a career business path then.
And now.
And now. I have two paths now, or more.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Like to...
And you two live together now?
Okay. For a year now.
For a year. Oh, so that was...
Living on the hill on 10 acres of beautiful land at the edge of things at the Cascade Foothills out there. Place, we're working on creating the infrastructure there to hold Intention-style gatherings. Probably, maybe the first one would be the end of next summer.
Oh, wow.
And we'll have these monthly weekend gatherings that are going to be... Very juicy. Well, sometimes we're going to, unlike Intention, which focuses in the community workshopping on all different sorts of things, we're going to have more targeted, focused weekends.
Sensual.
No, it stopped now. No.
She's
one track mind.
I'm like, sex.
We are going to have some weekends that are super intentional in regards to our sensual practice and that kind of thing. But we're also going to have weekends that might have, for example, the theme of the body as canvas, where the workshopping and the practices are all about painting and dressing up and costuming and playing with different archetypes. Or the fool, or the dark side, or light.
I want to be there.
Movement.
Every month I'm coming down.
Yes.
I have to get a new car. Sounds fabulous.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
We're very excited.
Okay, so we should have a quick break. And then we're going to have, we have a whole schwack of very interesting questions to ask at the other side of the interview. And so let me see, where am I? it's have to be internet. I'm used to Caroline speaking now, and Caroline's not here because I figured that, you know, there's enough of us sitting here, and she'd probably kind of be like, okay, what can I ask? You know, so I said, just listen in if you want, and I'll take the show on my own tonight. And she was gracious enough to be cool with that. But usually she's the one who's talking while I do this, so it's a bit awkward. All right.
Do you need some cover while you
keep that dial
lock?
No, I'm good. Keep that dial lock. To hear more with Dancer and Endearment, all about sex, and I mean all about sex. We welcome your calls during this time, especially, so please call in at 604-822-2487. Oh, I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the hour as well. See? That's 604-UBC-CITR. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. We will be right back.
Rusted brandy and a diamond lash. is made from dream. Time's made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means. Dutch pink and Italian blue. She's a lettuce waiting for you. My will has disappeared. Now my confusion is oh so clear. Temptation, temptation, temptation. I can't resist.
Is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Juicebox Radio. It's getting so hot in here, I can't even deal. I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm rattling my papers. You guys are getting me heated up. This is fabulous. All right, so we are speaking with Dancer and Endearment of Camp Sex and other things. So you were saying something very interesting on the break, and talking to Mateus, who's also going to be on the show at some point. He's witnessing us right now.
And going to have his own show
He's
soon.
He's going to have his own show,
fall.
We're hoping. Yes, maybe, yes.
That's one I want to listen to.
He's a philosophizer, a philosopher of...
A PhD dude
of all kinds here at UBC, and an amazing teacher. And he hopefully will be on Juicebox. I've been wanting him to be on for about a year now, and he's been... avoiding me, and I asked him to be on the salon, and he said, yes, I will, and then he said, no, I won't. So he's been teasing me. So here he sits, watching us, and you guys were having a conversation. What was that about?
Oh, I was just about to share this interesting thought that came up driving up the highway to come here tonight that has to do, starting off with mad props and appreciation to you, Julia, for bringing out these dialogues and helping with this whole army of people around the West and the world, perhaps, who are really bringing discussion, frank, open, full, deep, present discussion about our sexuality into the public, you know, mind
realm.
And discourse. And
yeah.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Discourse, right.
And the Thank thought you. I had was, if we thought about ourselves as scientists in the realm of our sexual practice, and then we thought about any discipline of science, we're listening, I believe the thought came from listening to Watson talking about DNA, the man who picked up the Nobel back in the 50s for discovering the double helix structure and so forth. Anyhow, the science of molecular biology or astronomy or medicine or whatever it is has always moved forward only by virtue of communication and by sharing of discoveries and ideas and knowledge about something. You can imagine how stagnant any given branch of science would be if every individual person in that branch just hung around by themselves in their bedrooms, learning things about it through the course of their lifetime and then dying off.
Yes.
And the thing yes. is, the point that I'm making is that's how the science of sex has been practiced up until not too long ago at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People were just doing it alone by themselves. And I mean, there was the odd book, but...
And not a very real or useful or relevant book, really, up until probably, I don't know, perhaps the 50s, 60s, 70s at the...
I'm like 10, 15 years. But yeah, you're being generous.
I am, yeah. And if you look
Maybe
at the,
Kinsey,
the, Well, the quality of like the heart energy and the relevance, especially related to the energetic aspects of sexuality, you know, I feel so much appreciation and owe so much to the works of David Deida, D-E-I-D-A.
Yes.
And I know a lot of I think he's pretty popular around the Vancouver community.
He is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks to Kai Rowan who introduced him to me. Personally, but I gave John a book, or sorry, John bought a book that I recommended from Deida and has read it. And so basically I haven't even read his stuff.
Uh-huh.
I just know that it's incredible and it's changing people's lives. And so I really should try to dig in and read something.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently you've done some tape recordings or recordings.
Yeah, it's all deep underground, unauthorized. Wouldn't that be cool?
I'm sure Deida would probably want to pick it up.
He'd mind, would he? Would you mind, David, if I just like distributed
David
your
Deida,
material?
Yes. If you don't charge anyone, but I think
it's for friends.
I think you could just send it to him by email, and I'm sure he'd probably
get his endorsement.
Yes,
it's a beautiful reading. Yeah, in fact, I give this endorsement that Chiron.
I should know. I've had him on like 25 times. I've had
him
on the air.
We love him. Yes. Well, Kai's teacher, Maryse Côté, up in Squamish, she actually was able to experience what she described as a full body orgasm as a result of listening to my reading of Dear Lover. That's how I got to meet her. Yeah.
Maryse had the opposite show of me. She had it every other week with me. I asked her to help me with the hour, and she did for about 2 or 3 months or something.
Oh,
she did a
she's
show.
She's great.
Yeah, I've got her recorded shows anyway. She didn't like the radio very much. Anyway, okay.
Let's get to this interview. Yeah, yeah.
So, you say here that you would love to speak to lovers and especially the men out there about the value of recirculation of energy and ejaculate in terms of benefit to their loving relationships, as well as some of the possible specific benefits they may find along that challenging path. And I really want to ask about this because... my boyfriend John, when I met him, he was all about this Taoist, and he hadn't ejaculated in a long time, and I was so like, I don't know, I totally like got him off the path. I was like, I don't know about this practice, I don't agree with it, and it was, I would like you to speak to him. And you said the lovers and especially the men, so
talk to John. Hi, John. It's nice to meet you.
Oh God, he's probably gonna hate me for this. I'll have to name him something else.
Whatever's working well. I mean,
but you said the benefits and the value of recirculation of energy and all this. So go ahead. What's your opinion on that? German, I want to know how you feel about not getting come on and things because I miss out on that. I really like that. I want that to happen.
Yeah. Do you want to? Do you have something that you'd like to
speak
start
to
about
that
the
first?
Subject?
Yeah.
Like so, you sometimes miss that. Yeah.
Once in a while, but mostly it's great. I mean, I love not having to deal with cleanup.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good thing
but
about
once
condoms.
Once in a while, you know, when I'm feeling super frisky, I want to be cummed on. You know, but it's not very often. So.
Yeah, and I'm not a purist. Like, I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I would say I probably ejaculate every 20 or 30 hours or so of, you know, accumulated edge time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So do you actually ejaculate, do you actually recirculate the energy and ejaculate inside? Do you actually recirculate that energy?
Yeah, whatever
that means.
Or do
you hold back?
Yeah.
Do you hold back?
My
you bring yourself to like a 9 out of the 10, and then you just don't actually get to 10.
My understanding is that for a lot of people, if a lot of men, if they play around with this and they're not doing the right thing with their breathing and with their attention to that energy, then they will end up getting this uncomfortable feeling. They'll get physical pain.
Yes.
Described as blue balls
right.
or what have
yes.
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I've actually only experienced that once or twice. And I've somehow kind of accidentally found myself doing the right thing so that
the
I
right
was able,
thing.
Yeah, with my energy and attention.
Okay.
Yeah. And then since then, because I'm not much of a read the manual kind of guy.
Okay.
I love to find out how things work by playing
doing,
with them and doing
by
them.
Experiencing. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, so in this case, I think I was just very fortunate to naturally, almost accidentally, find myself breathing properly and allowing. It's you know the art is a strange balance between relaxation mm-hmm. into that present sensation, and I'm talking about the edge, talking
mm-hmm.
about that
yeah.
point where you say
yeah.
a 9 out of 10 or whatever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you know men. We all feel probably something very similar as that, you know, as that sense of the cum coming up the shaft almost,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If it's that point where it's coming out, yeah, there are things you can do to sort of stop that. And I'm not sure how useful that really is because at that point, energetically, you end up like, and what I'm referring to particularly is this technique of reaching down between your balls and your anus.
The perineum.
Yeah, and pressing firmly into that place.
Right.
And then stopping any sensation. And if you do that, you can actually sort of divert an ejaculation. But you don't, in my experience, divert the energetic expulsion of that ejaculation experience, which is what's more important. It's not so much about that tablespoon or two of the fluid. And some people do say that that's actually very important because there's so much protein and nutrient and energy that goes into creating that. And I can see that if you were a person who liked to have, you know, 4 hours of sex every day and accordingly you weren't practicing recirculation so that you ended up ejaculating 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 times in a day, it would probably be detrimental to your health over time.
Mm.
But I don't know. You know, some people contend that.
I contend it just because I know about the physiology and the, you know, the chemicals and mm-hmm. the neurochemicals and all the things that are involved
it's
in the body.
Stuff.
And it's not really, yeah, I think it's actually really important to clean the pipes out.
Mm.
And so I don't agree with the Taoist ideas of not ever ejaculating. I think that's actually can be very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as how much, like, I mean, I've got these Chinese medicine doctors that tell me, well, you know, so many meals that go into, like, ejaculate, and so many, like, you know, energetic da-da-da-da, and I'm like, I don't know. I think that's all hooey. I really do. And I think that our physical bodies are meant to procreate, and that's what we were put on this earth for. And so our human experience is one of procreation. And so, you know, ejaculating once a day or once, you know, every couple of days or whatever, 3 times a day, our bodies are, you know, men's bodies are meant to produce this,
mm-hmm.
this quality of you know, product. And so I just, you know, I can see how, yeah, it helps with like keeping, you know, erections. If you're kind of older in life and you have trouble maintaining erections or having good erections, then, you know, not ejaculating all the time and building that energy up. Well, sure. It's, you know, it's more of like an arousal thing, you know, a vasocongestion thing and sort of, so I don't know. I mean, I'm a very spiritual person as well. So I think that there are spiritual elements to it. It's just, I think, you know, it's no problem ejaculating every couple of days or once a week or God, you know, whatever. It's just, I think it's like never ejaculating and how much energy gets lost in that tablespoon of whatever.
Right.
And, you know, we're meant to, like, spread our seeds far and wide. Like, that's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of...
It sounds to me like, you know, more energy is probably being lost in being anxious about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Very good point. I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Endearment likes to get come on once in a while when she's frisky, but otherwise you're the fact that...
And besides that, I mean, how satisfying it is to have him not ejaculating. There's, like, there's a much different, like, energy focus that happens at those higher, like, accumulated hours.
Right, right. I can get that.
We seem to go just, like, really deep, like, into, right. like, totally meditative lovemaking. Right. And I'm always really satisfied when... he's not ejaculating, because I never get left, like, you know, not coming.
Wanting more.
Or
not coming,
wanting
right.
more. Usually he's totally out doing me, you know, like...
She gets left I'm exhausted.
Well, and this is a really powerful part of it that I agree with. And I've heard from different tantric practitioners and Taoist practitioners that, you know, we often just, like, we climb the mountain and they have this ejaculation and they just go right back down the other side of the mountain. Whereas, you know, if you keep practicing not ejaculating, you climb the mountain, you camp there overnight, and you climb the next level, you camp there overnight, you climb the next level, you climb there overnight, and you keep going and going and going, and it's just, like, it can be this incredible, powerful place. And I agree with that. I think that's fabulous. If you're having a lot of sex and you know, you want to get to those places, and I think it's an amazing... way to engage in sexuality, and I would love more lovers to do that, because often I'm not satisfied and often it goes too quickly and I want more. And so you know, I can see, and then also the benefit of just going to those deeper places that you're talking about, endearment, and just you know, women can be quite insatiable. We can just, I mean, that's our natural being. And we just get started when men are finished. So I think it's a great practice, something important, but more to just get to that 8 or 9 and bring it back down and have control over that. Not so much like avoiding ejaculating, because it's like you're losing all this energy. Like, that's so different. That's the difference I'm talking about.
It's a subtle thing. I love that analogy or metaphor that you gave of going up those levels of the mountain. And it's an interesting area that I'd like to touch on a little if we have time, about the kind of the character of some of those levels. But one thing I want to hit for sure, which is probably the biggest incentive for a practice like this that we didn't realize going into it. We might have run across it somewhere in a reading or something like that, but it has to do with the effect on the desire that you feel in your relationship for each other. And I just want to give, and I'm going to speak to the men and the women who are listening also, you've seen and felt this as well, but I want to touch on that feeling that happens after the man has come, whether you climaxed or not, women, but you're at this place where the man has come, and there's this retraction, falling away from that.
Yes,
a man just withdraws, you know.
Right.
And the worst case scenario of that is he wants to get away from
right.
her.
Right, he does, often.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that sensitive new age guy, he's overriding that impulse by trying to stick around, and it's not, I know I'm supposed to cuddle
supposed
and
to touch her.
But what's really happening in his heart is this impulse that I just want to flee and go and watch television
so true.
Or something, you know? And that sucks.
It sucks, and it's so
yeah.
true.
And it's natural and automatic
natural
and implicit
and automatic.
In this dynamic.
Yes, right.
And what we've experienced in this surprising, delightful discovery just out of practice, again, as I say, from not really reading the manual, is that the degree of magnetic desire and affection is stepped up. And then stepped
John,
up.
John, get back to it.
And then stepped up. My God. So that the amount of work, like for me in my relation to endearment, you know, we'll make love. We've made love before in a single day for 5 or 6 hours.
7 hours.
Oh my God. How does anyone have time for that?
Well, that it you
or
how
pussy
you have,
power.
How
do you have the
time
pussy
for
power?
That is by making that your. By making that your devoted primary intention, by becoming a fuck monk, You know, it's not going to be something for everyone.
I think I have some priorities for my new boyfriend.
But yeah, because I'll come out of that sweaty, exhausted, just like, you know, quivering, vibrating, and in a state of so much lust and desire and worship. You know, like she might, yeah, maybe if I've wore out her yoni or something like that, you know, then I'm like, ah, oh, what can we do? Anything?
What can,
you know,
I fuck your armpits?
Mouth, hands, give me more, more, more. And when that, and sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of an awkward place there where, like, I have still so much of that, like, rawr, you know?
Yeah.
And I just let that settle and kind of distill down into just affection.
Mm.
And this has become this foundation and charge in our intimate relationship that is a dream.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, you know, people who meet us and who have get in little three-way hugs with us and stuff like that, and always go, wow, you guys are so like, you know, this whole thing.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes out of this. A lot of it comes out of the fact that we're building these levels and layers and quantum levels, shifting into new layers of desire and desire and desire.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very, very salient and interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit sold.
Yeah, and you know, you can still like perfectly fine. I mean, to ejaculate whenever it feels like that's the thing to do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's a process for sure. Of like, I mean, I'll tell you that when I was talking about some specific landmarks of obstacle or challenges along the way, like you talked about these levels, right? Men, you guys know, when you first enter that vagina, right, it feels really good. It's like, ah, and you're stroking and pumping away. And within about, for most of us, within anywhere from 30 seconds to 90 seconds or so, we're at a place where we could come that quick. It's just like,
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I call that level one. It's that first thing of just like ramping up. And for a lot of men in this sad world, that's it. It's
and for women, it's about the lovers of women.
Yeah.
I mean, lovers of men, yes.
But bless our hearts, you know, we're learning more and more how to hit that point and back off a little and breathe and relax and then start hanging out at our edge, right? And then,
which I think
could
be pretty fun. Hard for a lot of men, I think.
It is, and you know, but a lot of things we do are hard, and a lot of the payoff is good, and this is a case of that. This is a case where the benefits, like I just talked, like, do you need more benefit than having the desire component in your love life charged up to this level of incomprehensible bliss and yumminess? Right.
Yumminess. This is a yummy man who just walked in.
It's a yummy man. He looks like a yummy man.
Yes, this is Marion. He's the hottest DJ around. Okay. So, you guys, I want to touch on the last like 5 minutes of the show here. The practice that you have of fucking through grief.
Ooh,
I was hoping that.
So, endearment, will you
talk
about this? This is especially valuable managing PMS energies, is what Dancer wrote. But both partners need to be on board and present and ready to have some super value-added practice of the loving life together, is what you wrote. So, please, endearment, will you speak to this fucking through grief?
Well. As a lot of people know, or maybe not, there's a lot of tension stored in the cervix. And just the act of penetration and, you know, massage of the cervix can let a lot of grief out.
Right, yes.
But also just like during PMS times where it's everywhere, seems to be, not just in the cervix. We've had a lot of experience making love and fucking when I'm feeling like super emotionally charged and wretched or good, you know, totally open, weepy. And just really, like, he just really holds me and lets me go into just extreme, like, crying and
amazing, yeah.
Just letting it all out, letting everything flow, and like way more than I could do myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Way more than I could, because he just holds me and is like, I'm there for you, you know, and like totally fucking me at the same time and just, and like forcing it out.
Amazing, powerful.
It's super powerful.
Yeah.
Like days that I'm feeling real PMS-y, like, we consciously make the choice to go into that, and then after a couple hours or so, we come out, and I'm just, like, totally vibrating bliss, like, totally feeling like I want to just rub all over him like a cat or something.
So the PMS is sort of secondary, is not really happening so much anymore or whatever.
It's released.
Well, this is
something on the tip of your tongue, and I was like, don't interrupt that.
It's a practice, and I kind of mentioned it in that question, or it's implicit in the question. It's a practice that takes a real strong mutual intention and agreement, and a strong...
Around the crying part?
Around this practice, yeah.
Because, like, whenever I've started crying having sex with any lovers of my past, it's like they just stop, and they're like, oh, my God, and then they often want to just retract, and and I'm just like, no, like, I really need to cry right now. Like, don't stop fucking me. This is what's making it happen, and I really need this, you know? And
so are you hearing that, men?
Yes, men. Yeah? Please listen.
I think you could put any woman on the microphone right now, and she'd say, please stay present with me.
Yeah.
You know, and this is David Data's writings in The Way of the Superior Man, and he emphasizes this in so many different chapters, in that what the essence of masculine presence is, or the presence of masculine essence, either way, it's the presence of consciousness that is pure masculine energy, and it's around that the female energy, that the feminine energy can really be manifest, right? And come out and shine and flow and move and be this sort of roiling storm of energy. Mm-hmm. And men, don't be afraid of it. I mean, she's there. She's actually calling you out, like it's a challenge to your masculine essence,
right,
to say, stand like a warrior and hold your presence, and hold your silent, loving attention. And so to do this practice, it requires an agreement between each other, and it also requires an ability on each person's part. On the part of the woman, the ability is the courage to keep pushing forward into these experiences, and to not close off, and to not give up, or to not edit this stuff, right? And on the part of the man,
this is the art of it,
it's the ability to stay with it, to keep fucking into it, you know?
If you've
spoken about it, if you've talked about it together, then you can say, yeah, this is what we both want to do. We want to, because at first, your impulse is to say, no, I don't think I should keep fucking her because she seems to be sad. Right? It doesn't seem right. It's like rape almost, you know?
It's almost like, I think maybe that's what comes up, actually. Because, like, you start to cry, and then they're like, oh, am I hurting you? Are you okay? Like, I'll stop doing this. Like, they've been trained. But, you're like, keep fucking into it is a very good way of putting it, I think.
Data uses the word ravishment. You know? It's like the difference between rape and ravishment is that ravishment includes the quality of love. Okay.
Well, on that note,
things, yes. And is it the time?
It is. The hour is done.
So beautiful.
Guys, I had said in our little chat before we had the show, please feel free to call in and do a show anytime. I love that you drove up here. Thank you so much. It's much more real and beautiful to have our eye contact and be in each other's energy and presence, for sure.
And there's biodiesel, too. So, just want to put that out.
You're doing the vegetable oil.
Right,
I know, I need to get one of those cars. please do call and have a call-in show anytime, and we can address some of these other questions. There's so many powerful questions here that and areas of discussion that I'd love to engage you with. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show, both of you. All right, so... I was going to say we hope you enjoyed tonight, but I have a feeling the listeners did enjoy tonight's show. I know I did. Caroline and I are going to be taking a little break next week. As I said, I'm picking up my boy. So excited. We'll be back May 2nd with an exciting show, actually, about mandingos. I wonder if you've heard about them. If you want to know more, be sure to tune in. the Mandingo. Do a little Google on that and find out all about them. Back soon with another Fresh and Lively Juice Box. In the meantime, email Caroline or I, Julia, at juiceboxradio.com. Stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marion. Coming up next on CITR, he's a very sexy man to be miserable with. Let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and a super hot voice. I know I listen to it all the way home every Wednesday night. Thanks for listening to Juice Box Radio. We'll be back in a couple of weeks at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. I forgot the engineering part. You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Right then, here we go.